The Lord Jehovah reigns. What do you say? This week is we're celebrating our veterans. We want to recognize those who have served in the armed forces of the United States of America this morning. Would you just stand where you are? You know, Ray. Yes, there they are. Amen. Well, thank you for your service. And we thank you for what you have done for all of us. And we're grateful for what you have done. This week was an interesting week. We spent this week praying for families. And by the way, let me just give you an update on Simone. Simone had a surgery. It went well, successfully, and she is home recuperating. And she asked the church to pray a particular prayer, rather strange but particular. She asked the church to pray that she would not have to use the narcotics to ease the pain. So she wants to go through that pain without the aid of anything. And she says the hardest part now is the rehab. So let us continue to keep her in prayer as she recuperates from her surgery. Also, the other one who did surgery this week also was Grace. Oh, no. Erica. Not Grace. That's Erica. Grace, Erica Friend. Oh, come on. She is home. She's recuperating and doing well. And we give God thanks for that success also. Let's keep our members and family. So now we're going to be a new terminology across our church. We are one big family, and that's what we discussed this week, a family. And we had a great time this week, and we're going to culminate this morning with this question. What is your decision? We spoke about it, we prayed about it, now we have to decide about it. Let us pray. Father, into the hands we commit ourselves this morning, take charge. And may, as we sit at your feet, receive the blessing you have for us. Here's our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. This week we talked much about our family, different aspects of the home. And this morning we're going to reflect upon it somehow and come to a decision as a family, what we're going to do. When sin entered the earth, this earth of ours, the face-to-face communication that God had with Adam and Eve was lost. That face-to-face communication, when he used to come down in the cool of the evening and talk with Adam and Eve, after sin, that ended. Since then, God used many other ways of communicating with his people. Through visions, dreams, through prophecies and prophets. These were the ways he used back then and still today to talk or communicate with his family. The population of man began to increase rapidly. Nations were being formed all across the earth. And God, in his wisdom, decided to raise up a nation to represent him among all the other nations in the world. God, in his wisdom, chose the man by the name of Abraham. God made a covenant with Abraham. And God said to Abraham, that in his seed shall all nations of the earth be blessed. God was now creating his own little family to represent him on earth. That faithful man, Abraham, he accepted the challenge And so the nation began. Isaac, Jacob, 12 sons of Jacob. And so it went as the nation, this particular nation, this special nation, this special family of God was being developed. The record tells us that while this nation that God was developing and creating and building, while this nation, this family was in its infancy, while it was in its infancy, found itself in a wrong place. This family that God has chosen, this family that God was putting together, found themselves now in Egypt. Here they were in Egypt because of their own choosing. And so God was not pleased with it. He looked and found a man called Moses to deliver his people out of bondage. And he set up Moses and he trained Moses and he equipped Moses and he sent Moses there into Egypt to get his people out of there. I can recall many stories of families who have asked me, please, can you go to the prison and talk to my children or child? Help them to mend their ways and to see if you, when they come out, that they will change their ways. They are in jail because of their choice. Many families are suffering, their heartache and pain and suffering because of the choices their children are making or have made. God was not pleased with the choice of Israel there in captivity in Egypt. And I'm sure as parents, when we see and find our children in need, we will do all in our power to deliver them. They often would ask a young man or a father, if you find yourself in a boat or ship that is sinking, let me not go any further. And you have to choose. But as parents, as loved ones, as those members of our family, when we see a need, we try our best to fill that void. To reach out and help. Even in the church family, when we see our members, our loved ones in suffering, we reach out to help. Because we are a family. The family of God. Moses was instructed, was trained to deliver the children of Egypt. And when they were delivered, they spent 40 years wandering in the wilderness. Have you ever delivered your child from something just to see them complain, wish they were back there? Here was God delivering his people, brought them out of Egypt, took them to the Red Sea. They found themselves in a terrible situation. God delivered them again. They became thirsty and God gave them water. They wanted food. God gave them food. They wanted chicken. After all the manna that they ate, their bellies were filled with manna. They said, Lord, and he gave it to them. As a father seeing the needs of his family, seeing the needs of his children, he will work hard to fulfill those needs. And so it is with our Heavenly Father. He wants to save us. He is dying to save. He has died to save us. And even though we complain and murmur, he is still there to forgive and forget and to save. these children of Israel, there in the wilderness, Moses leading, and then Moses died. God needed another leader to lead the children in from the wilderness into the promised land, and he chose one by the name of Joshua. You see, my friends, Joshua was a leader. Joshua was one of the spies that went in to spy out the land. When all the others say, hey, these people are giants, we are like grasshopper in their eyes, Joshua said, no, we can conquer the land. Joshua brought the fruit of the land and showed the people, hey, this is what we need. Joshua was fitted for that position to lead the children from the wilderness into the promised land. Joshua was a great leader. He spied out the land. He brought about a positive report. And God chose him to deliver the land to the Israelites. And so he led the children of Israel victoriously into Canaan, defeating the Amorites and all the nations around. Joshua was a great leader. Joshua led the children through much prayer to his father. And after a time of leading these things, Joshua now came to the sunset of his life. And for some reason or another, this particular family, though matter how many times they were delivered, still had a way of walking backwards. And for some reason or another, while they're in Canaan, these family members began to adopt the worship of their neighbors. Some began to forget about the God that delivered them. Joshua, when he came to the sunset of his days, of his life, his last days with Israel were unhappy days. He was an unhappy man because he saw what the nation was now doing. The nation was not at its point of serving God as they should. So Joshua mustered the courage and his strength and called the children of Israel together. And as he stood before them as a great leader, he called upon them to make a decision. The Bible records this decision in Joshua chapter 24, verses 14 and 15. I want you to picture in your mind the children of Israel standing in whatever area, and Joshua talking to them and saying to them these words, now therefore fear the Lord and serve him in sincerity and in truth, and put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the flood and in Egypt, and serve your God. Then he went on to say, and if it seem evil, if it seems evil unto you to serve the God, choose you this day. Choose ye this day whom ye will serve, whether the gods of your fathers, serve that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites, in whose land you dwell. And then with all the courage, and all the strength he mustered and said, But as for me and my house, as a leader, as a father, beloved, we need to gather our children, to gather our family, and keep them before the Lord. We need to wear out our kneecaps, praying for our families. Here was Joshua standing before the people saying, me and my house, we will serve the Lord. From his trembling lips, within steps of death came the appeal which through the ages have pierced the hearts of men and women today. Many today, beloved, are a plain Christianity, who, like Israel, are cherishing some kind of sinful practices in their hearts or lives, and unless we repent and remove, we will not see our Father's face. Joshua was clear. He's not here timidly presenting some kind of alternative. But I love verse 21. Of Joshua chapter 24 and verse 21, the last part, the children of Israel realized the seriousness of, in which they were in and realized what they were doing and realized what they need to do. The children of Israel in verse 21 says, and the people said to Joshua, no, but we will serve the Lord. No to the gods of the Amorites, no to the gods on the other side of the flood, no to our forefathers' gods, yes to the Lord Jesus Christ. My friends, there is no alternative when it comes to us choosing to serve God. There's no choice. The only rational decision we can make is the one to serve God. The only decision that can lead us to eternal life is the decision to serve the God of Abraham. There are multitudes of reasons why God should be first and last in our lives. Conscience requires it as the only right course to follow. When we serve God, beloved, every law is kept. When we serve God, my friends, every duty is done, every claim met, every wrong avoided. Our conscience should point like a compass needle to the throne of God. And its very suggestion is to do the bidding of God. It is a solemn fact, beloved, that the holiest and deepest intent of our nature bids us to follow God. 2 Chronicles 29, verse 11 says, my son, do not now neglect, for the Lord has chosen you to stand before him to serve him. Gratitude requires that we decide to follow Jesus as Israel should have. God has delivered them. God delivered them. God led them. God helped them. And many other things. In addition to these national blessings, God has given to them individual blessings also. Like the psalmist says, each one of us today should be asking ourselves the question, what shall I render to the Lord for all his benefits towards me? Wisdom says we ought to serve God, serve self, and we are ruined. Serve God, and there is love and unity and harmony in the home. Serve God, and there is a confidence in each other. Joshua said, if it seem evil unto you to serve God, choose. When we serve God, we are not doing God a favor. When we serve God, we are not doing God a favor. We are doing ourselves a favor. Don't be fooled, beloved, by the gods of pleasure, gods of money. All these things are perishable. They don't last for a long time. Joshua said, for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Here is an example, beloved, of a manly resolution. Today, Joshua calls upon all of us to answer this question. What is your decision? What is your decision? Choose whom you will serve. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. What is your decision? What is your decision? Paul in Romans 8:38-39 says, for I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come shall separate me from the love of God. The last words of Joshua were a keen rebuke to Israel. The gods of the Amorites have not been able to protect you, but only the God of Abraham. What is your decision? Decision is yours today. If your decision is the same decision as Joshua, to say, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord, then I invite you, beloved, to look around, gather your house together, and come to the altar this morning, saying to God, not to me, saying to God, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Take the world, but give me Jesus. All his joys are what? Are but a name. But his love abideth ever through eternal years the same. Oh, the joy. As we sing this song, in the act of dedicating your entire family to God, as we come to the close of this week of prayer, I invite you to look around, get your family, bring them here as we pray that God will continue to bless and protect and provide for our families. Take the world, but give me Jesus.
Take the world, but give me Jesus. All his joys are but a name, but his love abideth ever through eternal years the same.
Oh, the heights
of depths of mercy.
Oh, the length and breadth of love. Oh, the fullness of redemption.
The fullness of redemption. pledge of endless life above.
Take the world, but give me Jesus. We'll keep singing as you come. Take the world,
but give me Jesus.
Sweetest comfort of my soul. Come on, press closer together so they can come in. And if for some reason your family members are not here, join another family. We are all one big family as we press together to serve God. And depths of mercy, oh, the length and breadth of life, oh, the fullness of redemption, pledge of endless life. The last stanza as they come. Take the world
and give me Jesus.
In his cross I trust shall be. Take.
Till with clear
a brighter vision, face to face my Lord I see. O'er the heights.
O'er the heights of depth and mercy.
O'er the length and breadth of love. O'er the fullness of redemption.
O'er the fullness of redemption.
Pledge of one more time the chorus as we invite our pastor to come and pray for us. O'er the heights and depth of mercy.
Oh, the length and breadth of love.
Oh, the fullness of redemption.
The fullness of redemption. Pledge of endless life above.
Let's bow our heads as we pray. Gracious Heavenly, merciful Father, we thank you, Lord, for blessing us this week. And we know that the devil wants to shatter the family. He wants to divide us. And if he divides the home, he divides the church, and he divides the world. Thank you, God, for the intervention that you can come in our lives and defeat the devil. And so, Lord, as we pass this week and we get to our normal lives again, we ask for your continued presence of your Holy Spirit to be with us, to stay close beside us. And Lord, as we face the temptations and the challenges of life, that we would call upon you each step of the way. We have failed you, Lord, as fathers and mothers, and as children, we have come short so many times. Our homes have been broken many a times. But thank you, God, for the forgiveness that you offer us. Thank you, Lord, that you could come into our lives and mend our families once again. We don't have anywhere, dear God, to go when we are broken. But you are our only source. You bring families together. You unite us and you bind us together. Thank you for that, Father. Bless us as a church family. We have our shortcomings. We have our challenges here at our church. But stay close to us, God. Forgive us where we have failed thee. Help us, Lord, to be a beacon of light to Powder Springs. And many other families who come in here would see the beauty of you. Now, as we depart and as we bring this meeting to a close, we thank Pastor Orval for sharing these timely messages. Continue to bless him in a special way. Now, may the great God of heaven, his Son, Jesus Christ, and the sweet communion of the Holy Spirit be and abide with each one, now and forevermore. Amen. God bless you.